a boy named Leo. This is a personal life story of a very close friend of mine, arguably my best friend, honestly. And this is a story that I've never told anyone, and the only people that really know about this and really know, you know, what happened were, you know, people who were very close to us. You know, the rest of, you know, the city or the community never really knew what happened, you know, with this friend of ours. Leo was a friend of mine. He was one of the popular kids, you know, in high school. He wasn't really necessarily a tough kid. He wasn't big. He wasn't really built, but he was a singer. He was a very talented singer. And of course, you know, all the girls loved him because he was a singer. He was light-skinned. You know, he was, you know, I guess dark and handsome, as they would say. He wasn't really tall, but, you know, he was a very talented singer. He was very smooth with the girls. You know, they really liked that about him. So, you know, naturally, he would sleep with a lot of the girls in our high school, right? So, you know, one day, you know, he told me, we were hanging out one day, and he told me, hey, I'm going to meet this girl tonight. You know, he had a car, so he went and picked her up. Now we were 18 at the time, right? And he was 18, and she was 16, and he's going to pick her up. Now where we lived, that was legal for him to have sex with her, right? 18 and 16, you know, that's not technically illegal where we were. So he was going to meet this girl for kind of like a casual, you know, sexual fling, if you will. And he told me that, you know, he brought her back to his place. You know, they had sex, you know, a couple times. They hung out a couple times, you know, different days. And then, you know, one day he was kind of sick of her, right? He didn't really want to talk to her anymore. And she messaged him on Facebook. She sent him a message on Facebook saying, hey, look, you know, I really don't want to stop talking to you. I really like you, you know, stuff like that. At first, she was nice about it, right? But then he was like, you know, no, I really don't want to talk to you. I'm sorry, stuff like that. And basically a couple days later, she messaged him and said, look, I'm actually 15. I'm not 16. She lied about her age by 1 year. Now, 15 and 18 is illegal, right? That's very illegal. That is technically statutory rape, right? So here's the thing. We were 18 at the time, and he didn't know. None of us knew, but he didn't know, you know, like the rape laws and stuff like that. I mean, he was an 18-year-old kid. He didn't know. He just knew that, maybe he did know them, but he took her word for it, I think, that she was her age, that she was 16. He didn't believe that she would lie to him like that. I don't think he really understood female nature. He knew how to attract women. He knew how to sleep with them, but he didn't understand that they lie when they want something, right? So basically, she messaged him and said, look, I'm 15, okay, so you technically did this to me, right? And she basically blackmailed him and said, look, if you stop talking to me, I'm going to tell my parents that I've been sleeping with you, and you know what that means, right? They're going to call the cops on him, and he could possibly go to prison for like 10, 15 years, you know, for statutory rape, pretty much. So he came to me like crying, telling me the story, telling me what's going on with him. And I told him, look, you know, she has no proof that you guys did anything, right? So you just have to play it cool and deny it. And if the cops come to you, you can just deny it. But then he told me, no, she messaged me directly on Facebook. And I replied saying, like, look, like, he basically replied saying, don't do that. You know, I'm sorry, we can still talk. So by him doing that, there is now digital evidence that they had sex, right? That's all she needs. So I my jaw dropped when he told me that, because I basically had to tell him, look, you're screwed now. She's got you, you know, by the balls. She can take you astray, you know, she can do whatever, you know. And basically, he was forced to keep dealing with her for, I'd say, a couple more months. Basically, he was basically blackmailed into being in a relationship with this girl that he didn't want to be in, because she had the power to really end his life, honestly. Now, a couple months later, she eventually got bored of him and they stopped talking. But I noticed that he changed. He was no longer the fun, social, you know, outspoken guy that he used to be. And we called him, his name was Leo, but he also happened to be a Leo, you know, the zodiac sign. So he used to be a very, you know, popular, radiant, you know, energetic person, always, you know, going to the parties, always had all the friends, all the connections. But as time went on, I could just see it eating away at him, the fear that she could one day go to the police and get him arrested and thrown in prison. And he became more and more antisocial. He became more and more, you know, I guess secluded or reclusive and just very distant. And I could see it in his eyes that he was just being eaten alive by this. And we would talk about it. I was one of the only people he still talked to because he started developing a lot of trust issues and a lot of, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder out of the fear that this girl is going to get him sent to prison. And he would tell me that he would have nightmares of being raped in prison by men because he thinks if he goes to prison, you know, as a rapist, right, he knows what's going to happen to him in there. And he told me he would wake up, you know, having nightmares, you know, that he's getting raped in prison because this girl has the power to put him there. And I just saw it eating him alive. And as time went on, he never really healed from it. He never became the same social person he used to be. She, in a sense, robbed him of his innocence. He used to be this very innocent, loving person. You know, he was a singer, right? He stopped singing. He didn't have the heart to sing anymore. He didn't want to be famous anymore like he used to. His dream was always to be like a famous singer, right? And he didn't want it anymore. He didn't have the drive to do anything anymore. Eventually, he lost all his friends completely. And he just stopped talking to anybody. He just locked himself away in his room. We talked for maybe 2 or 3 years after this happened. And it never got better for him. He just locked himself away. And he would admit to me that he feels like he can go to jail at any time for this because she has the evidence, you know, to destroy him. So he feels like his life is over in a sense. You know, he's powerless. He's no longer, I guess, a man. And I could just see, and the thing is, as time went on, he stopped being afraid of going to jail, right? He stopped being afraid of what she could do to him, but he didn't get over it in a healthy way. He just accepted his fate that he's powerless and that it can all end at any time. So he stopped caring what happened to him. He started, he was never really a drug user, but he started drinking a lot of, he would get, like, he had like a lean dealer. He would start drinking, you know, the cough syrup, and I don't really know what the exact kinds he would be on, but he would start drinking, like, you know, all of that, what is it, promethazine and all that stuff. He developed a crazy lean habit. I'd be hanging out with him. He would drink like a bottle of NyQuil for no reason. He just wanted to escape the reality that he was living in, right? That he is powerless in a sense. And it was really heartbreaking because I was watching this friend of mine just die. He's just like a dead man walking. He doesn't care anymore. And he started getting into, like, he started doing sleazy things. He told me he felt like because he can be, you know, labeled a monster at any time and labeled a rapist and sent to prison, he might as well become like a criminal. He might as well start doing, and he started doing things, you know, like selling drugs, getting involved with really shady people. He just didn't care anymore. He didn't value his life anymore. He felt like he had been raped of his innocence and his freedom. And he would tell me that he felt like he's been mentally raped. He would tell me, you know, he doesn't have peace of mind anymore. He would tell me every second of every day is sheer torture for him. And I could tell he didn't really want to live anymore. And, you know, even later on, he admitted to me that he would start having fantasies of, like, becoming like a mass shooter, you know, like a Columbine or like a school shooter or something. He would tell me that he would have fantasies of just, like, buying a gun and running out into the city and just killing as many people as he can before the cops would eventually kill him, because he felt so trapped and frustrated, you know, having this leverage. This girl had this leverage over him. He told me he wanted to make the world feel the way he felt, as trapped as he did, and see the pain he's in. And he told me he started to see how this world really doesn't care about men, because he would suffer with this and no one could tell. And there was no support group for him. There was no support group for a guy that was tricked into sleeping with an underage girl and is living with the fear of going to prison and getting raped. There was no support system for a guy like that. And he would, I could just see it. I could just see that he didn't want to live anymore. You know, he had a car, and I would ride with him in his car sometimes, and he would never wear a seatbelt. And I would look at him and I'd say, "Why aren't you wearing your seatbelt?" And he would just kind of look at me and smirk. And I could tell he didn't have the heart to kill himself, but he was inviting a situation into his life that could kill him for him, you know? And he didn't have the heart to go through. He was a very sweet, big-hearted person. He never would have had the heart to go through with, you know, doing like a shooting or anything or killing innocent people. He was still too kind for that, but he was desperately hoping that someone would just put him out of his misery. He just didn't want to be alive anymore. He would tell me, "I just want to go." You know, he would tell me things like, "I just want to go. I don't want to be here anymore. I just want to disappear." You know, he would he just wants to like go to sleep and never wake up. And it was really heartbreaking for me to see that, because what am I, how can I help this guy? How can I ease his mind? You know, how can I heal that pain, that trauma that he's under? You know, she, in a sense, technically he raped her, but really she raped him. She raped his mind. She took his innocence. He was an 18-year-old boy, you know, and she took his innocence. He didn't want to be a singer anymore. He didn't want to go out and hang out with people anymore. He didn't want to do anything anymore. He would just lock himself away and just rot and soak in that fear and that depression and that powerlessness. And it was like watching an angel fall, honestly. It was really sad. And I'm really sorry if this story is kind of all over the place. I'm trying to leave out certain things that would make me start swearing, because there were times where I would get enraged just watching this happen to him. So I'm kind of leaving out a lot of really like bad details, you know. But the thing is, eventually one day he did, I don't know if he killed himself, but basically one day, you know, his mom just walked into his room and he didn't have a pulse. He was just lying in his bed, you know, with his eyes closed. And she was like shaking him and screaming and stuff like that, and he didn't have a pulse. And the autopsy report came back as death by natural causes, which I never understood, because I always felt like it had to be a suicide. It had to be like a drug overdose, or maybe he hung himself or something like that. But it just said he died. They just said he died of natural causes. They didn't know. You know, he was like a young kid in his early 20s, and he just died of natural causes. It never made sense to me. I always felt like there was more to that that they didn't pick up on. You know, something just didn't add up about that story. But the tragedy was just watching him year after year just slowly deteriorate out of this fear and hatred. And he started to hate women after that too. He hated everybody. He felt like, you know, he can't trust anyone. And he just wanted to die. He just wanted to disappear, you know. And his dream was crushed. He didn't want to be a singer anymore. He didn't want to be popular. He didn't want to, you know, sleep with girls anymore. He didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to disappear. He felt like he had been robbed and raped, you know, of his innocence. And I could just tell that every second of every day was just torture for him. And eventually he got to a point where he was so numb, he didn't really care. He wasn't afraid anymore. He was just like ready to die, you know. And I'm really sorry if this is a really gruesome story. But I don't know. I just felt like it needed to be told, you know. I know I usually talk about positive things, but this was just, it kind of enraged me, because it's like no one cared. He had no one to help him. And he was, you know, like I said, he was a Leo, right? So he was always too prideful to go out and seek help, you know, from other people for this problem. And he was embarrassed because he felt like a rapist. He would tell me he feels like a rapist, and at the same time he feels like he's getting raped himself, you know, like mentally. I was probably the only person he was comfortable, you know, talking to this about, because, you know, I'm just very like supportive like that. I listen and I tried to help him. But she destroyed him, you know, and she doesn't even know it. This girl doesn't even know that she's the reason why he's gone. You know, she was just playing a selfish little game. You know, she just wanted to sleep with him, but she knew she wasn't old enough, so she lied. And she didn't care that she was putting him in a situation that could get him sent to prison. and get him raped, you know, for 10, 15 years and make him a sex offender and make him a monster. And just the fear that he could become that monster, the fear that at any time she could just decide to expose that happened, it was eating him alive, and it was too much for him. And it destroyed him, you know, it really just destroyed him, you know. And that's the end of the story, you know. So I don't know.